This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
This episode is brought to you by Smart Food Popcorn. Some decisions aren't the best, like skipping ahead in your favorite podcast. Think of all the banter you'll miss, the lore in the making. Luckily, Smart Food Popcorn is a no-brainer. Deliciously tasty and available in a variety of fun flavors. It's a smart decision every time. Smart food. Add smart. To learn more, visit smartfood.com.
Welcome to the Good Food Podcast. In this episode, we're celebrating Pancake Day. Orlando Murren will be talking to food writer and entrepreneur Chelsea Collins all about pancakes, including the truth about why the first one never works.
The first one is always a mess. So you have to throw away the first one.
And so you know what? I find that with all pancakes, American-style pancakes, even those Japanese souffle pancakes, the first one is never going to be as good as the last.
So let's just accept that the first one is a disaster. And don't beat yourself up about
Literally.
It.
Literally.
Plus, how to cook the perfect pancake every time.
I'm delighted to have in the studio with me today Chelsea Collins. And we're going to talk about pancakes. But before we talk about pancakes, Chelsea, tell us about your food history and background. And I'm particularly interested because I remember you from a few years ago when we worked together and we all knew that you were a young woman going places.
That's nice. That's so nice to hear. So my food history actually started when I trained to be a chef at Leith School of Foods, which was honestly the making of my whole career. I then found myself at Good Food, which is where we met, which I love.
And you had a six-month internship. Yeah, you made a big impact. You were very, very popular and very energetic and very hardworking. But we all knew that you would be going off and doing something wonderful because you have that kind of spirit about you. So what happened after that?
So then after Good Food, I actually was catering on the side all the time on weekends to earn extra money. And I met my business partner, who was currently my business partner at the time, and we were catering because she was in chefing full time. And I reached out to her and said, do you want to cater with me on weekends? She actually fobbed me off a couple of times, but then eventually met me for a coffee. And we started catering on the side of our full-time jobs on weekends, and our diaries just were getting fully booked like months in advance. And this was like 2016, and we were displaying all the food in a way that was quite new, and people were eating with their eyes, and I think people just loved it. I actually wasn't really a cookie person. I was more of a cake person. Like, I'd have a slice of cake with a cup of tea. But I went with it, and actually, people just loved them. And we sort of became known as the cookie girls in our area. And from there, we said, why don't we try doing this? But let's do one thing and do it really well and actually pack in our full-time jobs and give it a go. And with all the money we'd earned from catering, we pumped a bit of money into setting up a market stall in Old Street Station and giving the cookies a go on their own. And it was an Americanized concept. We really marketed ourselves as you know, the first.
Oh, this is a real entrepreneur story, isn't it? Now, how do we get from there to Blondie's Kitchen? And Blondie, because that is your business, for, which
is.
You're known for.
Yes. So what happened was after that, we actually got approached by Taste of London at Old Street Station. They said, we'd love you to come and do a pop-up. Would you be interested? And because organically we were growing our social media following just from being in Old Street Station and saying, come down and see us, lots of people were spreading the word. And unbelievably, we got an email in our inbox from Selfridges. So we'd organised to meet with them, their buying team. And at this time, I know nothing about pitching to buyers. I've never done it in my life. So we've got our cookies with us. I'll never forget it. And we thought, you know, they've invited us. So I didn't go with like a pitch prepared. I just went with the samples thinking, well, they're going to have all the questions because they've invited us. And I'll never forget, we walk into this room and there are these two buyers sitting behind a table and they literally look up at us. They say hello and they're looking up at us expecting us to like do a presentation. And I remember looking at Christelle thinking, oh my God, what are we going to do? And she just looked at me and froze as if to be like, good luck, you better start talking. And so we just had to like do it on a whim.
Something tells me, Chelsea, that you were in your element here and you were absolutely fine, weren't you?
To be honest,
and in fact, they had to lever you out of the office. They couldn't get rid of you.
They saw something in the product because they did ask us to go in. And we were in there for 4 weeks and we actually ended up being the most successful pop-up in the history of the food hall. And they invited us back in permanently and we launched Blondie's Kitchen, our first ever and still is our flagship concession in their food hall in September 2017. And we've been in there ever since.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams. So they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. That's Atlassian.com. Atlassian.
At the UPS Store, we know things can get busy this upcoming holiday. You can count on us to be open and ready to help with any packing and shipping or anything else you might need.
Is there anything you can't do?
Actually, I don't have a good singing voice. The UPS... Nope. But our certified packing experts can pack and ship just about anything.
At least that's good.
The UPS Store. Be unstoppable. Most locations are independently owned. Product, services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. Come in today to get your holiday goodies there on time.
Now, we are here to talk about pancakes, what with Pancake Day and everything.
So
we have to move on to pancakes.
I love pancakes.
So they come in all different shapes and sizes.
They do.
Which is probably why people love them. So take us through the different shapes and sizes and their pros and cons.
So what? Well, this is a very open discussion. This is subjective. So you've obviously got classic crepes.
Which is the flat one. Flat
exactly.
As a pancake. That is
literally
the crepe.
Yeah. That is like the classic, I think, lemon and sugar when I think of a crepe.
Yeah, and it's hard to beat lemon and sugar. It's a lovely combo. I mean, you can have maple syrup as well.
But
lemon and sugar does
lemon
it,
and sugar
it?
And a tiny bit of butter goes a long way. Yeah.
And do you fold them or roll them?
Fold them. What about you?
I generally roll them, but I think I'm happy to try.
Do you know why I fold them and I don't roll them? They last longer.
Oh.
I feel like when you're eating it, you get more out of a folded than a rolled.
Yeah. They're amazing things because you make your batter and it's only a minute each
exactly.
side, isn't it? You don't have to throw them in the air. I bet you throw them in the air, though, don't you?
It's all the fun of it. course, you've got to throw them in the air.
And of course, the other great bit of legend about them is that the first one is always a mess. So you have to throw away the first one.
And
so
you know what? I find that with all pancakes, American style pancakes, even those Japanese souffle pancakes, the first one is never going to be as good as the last.
So let's just accept that the first one is a disaster. We
exactly.
And don't beat yourself up about
Literally,
it.
Literally, even the professionals can't say their first
we'll
was
say
the best.
That we're seasoning the pan. Do you have a special pan for pancakes?
So always I use a non-stick pan, and my trick is to wipe a little amount of vegetable oil or any flavourless oil around the pan with kitchen paper.
Yeah.
And I never go in with like a knob of butter or a generous amount of oil and swivel it around the pan. I wipe the pan out almost as if I'm wiping it clean with the oil.
Yeah.
And that makes them perfect every time.
Apart from the first one.
Exactly.
But if you put too much oil or when you top it up, if you top mm-hmm. up oil, you get like a split pancake. It divides
exactly.
into two. It turns into two islands, doesn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you don't get the even colouring on the... You know how you can see these people that get the perfect pancake with the golden topping? You're like, how have they done that? Mine is not equal in terms of colouring. It's definitely too much oil or butter in the pan.
Yeah, and one side comes out spotty and one side comes out less spotty.
Exactly.
I like the spotty side on the outside when I'm rolling up, but when I'm in future folding it, I'll have the spotty side.
Me too.
And then you can just stand there and do that,
mm-hmm.
And whether you throw them in the air or not, and just... You make them in quick succession,
exactly.
don't you, till you run out of batter.
Exactly.
So that's the kind of simplest way. I think that's probably what people think of on Shrove Tuesday, isn't
Definitely.
It? As being the plain pancake. But there are many other sorts. There are sort of brunch and breakfast
exactly.
sorts.
Exactly. Like so, the Americans. I guess they're like American style, the thicker, fluffier pancake that you can stuff, top, and I guess turn into a full-on meal, like savoury or sweet.
Yeah. And so that is a different batter.
Yes.
And the thing that I think we should say about the when you're making the basic batter, if your pancake, when you're making the thin crepe type, if the pancake's too thick, you can always add a bit of water to your batter to make it thinner, because it's meant to be very thin to spread, isn't it?
100%. And if you've rested your batter, which we should technically for like
ideally
just so that it lightens over. I mean, most people say 24 hours a rest. It does thicken in the fridge overnight, so I always actually loosen mine with a bit of water before I begin.
Yeah, because you want it to be very thinner than you think, don't you?
That's what I find I do wrong with the first one. I always go a bit too thick, and then I've got to... It's literally, you just skim the base of the pan, don't you?
Yeah, and it needs to flow around easily.
Easily.
But with the American style one, it's a different thing here, because
Completely.
It's meant to be have its own kind of volume, and often the recipe has got
raisin agent,
baking powder and a whipped egg white in it as well.
Yes, exactly.
Is that the definition of an American pancake, that it's got, that it's always thicker, isn't it, and
mm-hmm.
it's got raisin agent, and has it got the beaten egg white in it always, or is that an optional extra?
I think that's optional extra, and I think those souffle pancakes that are really popular now, like the Japanese style souffle ones, have always got the egg white.
That's a Japanese style souffle.
Yeah.
Is that bigger and thicker?
Exactly.
What, twice as thick as... I don't know about that. That's
literally
thick,
they're like twice as thick, and they wobble.
Right.
And you
so
get
like
that wobble.
So it's got a souffle. It's like
exactly.
a souffle surrounded by a pancake.
Exactly.
I'm liking this.
It's really, they're really cool. They look amazing. I actually prefer eating an American style one. But some people love them. They are lighter and fluffier, the souffle ones. They've got that aerated middle, almost like a real souffle.
And what about because you can put anything into these pancakes. What are some of your favourite things to put in?
Always.
I'm going to ask you for your favourite pancake of all in a moment, but what are some of the things that you like to...
Putting fruit in them. I've actually got... My daughter's obsessed with banana pancakes at the moment. She's only 11 months. And banana pancakes, blueberry pancakes. I find fruit are always an amazing addition.
Do you mix them into the batter? Or?
Yes, I do.
So not after the things in the pan?
Well, I can do both. So Gafood actually have an amazing banana pancake recipe. I think it's Cassie's, and it's banana American style pancakes. And she mashes banana into the base of the batter, but also slices banana up. And whilst it's in the pan, you put the slices in and flip it over. So it looks really gorgeous when you serve them.
I love Cassie's recipes. I love Cassie's recipes. Good food. She's not listening. But
no, they honestly are.
Well,
she's
not the best because they're all good and good food. But honestly, I love her.
Especially
she's so inventive
and
creative.
She really is. And they're fail-proof. You can never get them wrong.
Yeah. And where are you on savoury?
So I love a savoury pancake. For me, it's cheese. Anything with cheese in a savoury pancake.
A particular favourite cheese that makes you think of pancakes?
So I love any cheese that melts really well and then... You know when you get that ooze in the middle.
Do you like the threading?
A bit of mozzarella. Love a bit of mozzarella threading. Yeah. Love. I love even like a stronger cheese in a pancake, like a really nice gorgonzola. Strong flavours. I think because pancakes are so neutral in their flavour, they can take like added punch.
Yeah. They really taste a bit of toasted butter in
exactly.
a sense, don't they? Yeah.
Great foundation for adding anything.
If you're going to have it, so we've dealt with the flat pancakes for pancake day. With these American pancakes, what would you serve them with on a plate or as part of what? So say you're doing brunch or lunch, you could have them for dinner if you want to, couldn't you? But what would you put on the plate with them or let people help themselves to?
So if I was going down the sweet route, I think I'd always serve with like a nice natural yogurt and some fruit, maybe a dusting of icing sugar, some extra fruit on top. Or if I was going more savoury, really nice with like some smashed avocado, a sweet corn salsa, depending on even a fried egg.
Yeah, this has been very modern. It's lovely, lovely. And what would you think of that American habit of where they have a savoury thing, but they put maple syrup all over it, like maple syrup on pizza?
Funnily enough, I don't love that, but I do like the bacon and maple syrup combo, the classic American. Although it's really interesting, because when I've been to America and you know you get these all-you-can-eat buffets, you see Americans putting like a whole cooked breakfast, like fried eggs, bacon, sausage, and then they genuinely put like the pancakes on that same plate with the maple syrup all over the whole thing.
Yeah.
I just couldn't do that.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I love Americans in every way and I love them. But when I had a hotel, the breakfast, what they did at breakfast, well, did astonish me because it was all there together and all mixed up as
all
well.
All mixed up.
So this... They must enjoy, but they have a more enjoyment of sweet and savoury all mixed together. And I think there's an overlap of maple syrup and ketchup, which is sweet, and sweet corn sweet with the savoury, isn't it? So they're maybe more open-minded towards, they don't have the same division of, strict division of sweet and savoury that we have.
100%, definitely.
And I approve of it. I'm going to experiment with it more.
Yeah,
sausages and maple syrup is a nice combination. I did that by accident recently. Entirely by accident. I didn't just think I was pouring something else over the sausages, but I wasn't expecting to enjoy it as much as I did. Now, what's your favourite pancake, Chelsea?
I love a classic crepe. I think, just with simple, there's a crêperie in Hampstead called the Hampstead Crêperie, and I just love their classic crepe, thin pancake with milk chocolate that melts into it.
Milk chocolate.
And it's just buttery, slightly salty from the butter, and then the sweetness of the milk chocolate, and there's just nothing better.
And you just fold that?
And it comes folded.
And how big is that? Because
it's massive.
The crêperies, they have very... My crepe pan is rather small. It's
so
only
is
about,
mine, actually.
20, maybe 18 Same centimetres,
as me.
I think.
18 so that,
which is quite little.
Yeah.
But the crêperies, they do huge ones.
Huge.
And
it's
they also cook very evenly, but they're amazing pieces of
kit they've
got. They're professionals. Have you got a professional
crêpe? No, I can't say I do. I'd love one, though.
You're thinking about it, aren't you?
You're making me think about it, yeah.
Gosh, the amount of kitchen kit we need.
Honestly.
We need extra. We need to have extensions to our kitchens, don't we, just for the extra equipment. Well, that sounds delicious. I hope that's lots of ideas for everyone's pancake day, but They're so easygoing and fun. And there's a gregarious element to them that you're usually making them and people are eating them.
I find that quite stressful, I have to be honest. You know, when you've got everyone sitting there like, yes, let's eat our pancakes. And I'm like, can we all eat them together? Like, let me just get them in a stack. But then the whole, uh-oh, are they cooling down? We want them to still be warm when we serve them. So then you end up just handing them out as they're coming out the pan. Everyone's eating them. And then I'm in such a hurry to try and eat mine, I end up just eating the dregs at the end.
Oh, poor Chelsea. Well, try not to make that happen this year. But it is a kind of live show, isn't it? And you can't really keep them waiting.
No.
You can, but they get a bit dull.
I've tried putting a low oven on before and keeping them in a low oven, but actually they do sometimes go a bit crispy when you do that, and you don't get the same effect. So,
If you're doing an old-fashioned kind of French dish of, you know, rolled with mushrooms and sauce on the top, then that's fine. You can make pink pancakes in advance and they don't stick together. They're very well behaved. But this live pancake thing is a different thing on pancake day, isn't it?
And
people want to enjoy them. And there's something about the air being full of that lovely pancake smell and getting the smoke alarm going off, isn't there?
God, yeah.
I've got two cats and they smell delicious after pancake day because their fur absorbs all the...
That's hilarious. Do they like the pancakes?
No, not at all. They like being petted. They get extra petting because of the pancake smell, and they get sniffed because of the pancake smell, which they enjoy.
That's funny.
Now, we ask all our guests some questions. So I implore you to be honest here.
Always.
Question number one. What's your biggest cooking disaster?
Do you know what? I think my biggest cooking disaster has to have been when I was training and it was fish pie day. And I got in such a fluster. We were being examined and I couldn't get it together. I was like one of those amateurs on MasterChef that ended up in hives round the kitchen, sweating, not able to assemble my fish pie. And, you know, I have to be totally honest, I've never made a classic fish pie since.
It is actually one of those dishes with all the wretched components, isn't it?
This is the thing.
They've all got to be
dead. It's unbelievable.
They're all in different pans.
Exactly.
And then it all comes together at the end.
And then I thought, what was the point in that? Was it worth it?
You didn't even like it?
No. Well, I did, but I didn't love it. And I thought, for the amount of effort that's gone into this, I'm never doing it again.
Yeah. Well, actually, I'm not being asked for my confession, but if someone did, I can't bear fish pie. I find it slimy. I think it's slimy. Yeah. It's like, you know, for people who haven't got any teeth, it's kind of,
it's
liquid
baby
food, isn't it? You could eat it through a tube.
Yeah, I agree.
Anyway, sorry, no one did ask me about that, but we're agreeing. Now, this one, I think we could catch you out on this one, Chelsea. Have you ever served something ready-made and pretended you made it yourself?
Do you know what? I don't think I have, actually. I actually don't think I have. That's funny.
Remember,
I've got friends that do that.
Friends might not be listening, so you could be honest.
I genuinely don't think I have. I'm too honest. You know?
So you'd tell them, yeah.
I would tell them.
So it's not that you wouldn't dream of serving ready-made.
It's
just that you'd say...
I'd be honest. Oh, I absolutely...
That's so
There's
charming.
Such a time and
That's
a place
so
for ready-made. Don't you agree?
That's charming, Chelsea. I don't think anyone's ever said that before, that
really?
They would be proud to serve.
I would. There's surely a time and a place for ready-made sometimes.
Thank you so much. Chelsea Collins, she nails it every time. Now, your guilty pleasure.
My guilty pleasure, hands down, every time, is kids' oven food. I absolutely love nothing more than chicken nuggets or fish fingers, chips or waffles, smiley faces, baked beans or spaghetti hoops, and I fry an egg on top with ketchup and mayo and flaky sea salt every time.
Thank you very much. Lots of guilt and lots of pleasure there, I would suggest. Now, we have a round of quick-fire questions that you're not allowed to think about.
Can't wait.
Least favourite kitchen job?
Peeling potatoes.
Really?
I've got to peel so many because I eat about 15 roast potatoes alone that it's never getting done. I'm like, it's never ending.
Favourite kitchen job?
Love cooking meat.
What does your perfect sandwich have in it?
Ham, cheese, pickle, some crunchy lettuce, a bit of Dijon mustard, thick butter, and it's on a multi-seeded loaf.
Thank you very much. Beautifully described.
Mm.
The best kitchen tip you've ever been given?
Oh. That's a good one. Probably what comes to mind immediately is putting my vegetables into iced water once I've blanched them so that they stay green.
And then you reheat,
exactly.
You throw them into boiling water
exactly.
For a minute at the afterwards. Fantastic, yeah. Do you always clean up after you cook?
Always. I've got severe OCD.
Your most trusted recipe?
Mine personally or one I use?
Let's have both. Or either.
Okay, so I always go to Jennifer Joyce's macaroni cheese recipe on Good Food for the base of a bechamel. Always. Hers is really good and has some additional seasonings in there. And mine personally would be probably my peanut butter chicken curry.
Most overrated food?
Anything truffle.
I'm nodding violently here. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
Couldn't agree more, yeah. Worst thing you've ever eaten?
Oh, my God, I've eaten some terrible things. Worst thing I've ever eaten? Probably some fried insects in Thailand.
One food your family can't get on board with, but you love?
My husband hates vegetables and salad, so a nice crunchy summer salad.
What's your ultimate pancake topping?
I think it must be banana, chocolate hazelnut spread, whipped cream and crushed toasted hazelnuts.
And then finally we've got our warm and glowing question that we always finish with, which is, what makes you optimistic for the future?
Oh, I love that. What makes me optimistic for the future? Just always, I guess, being hopeful and positive that I can make change to be happy and push forward and do more to make sure that I can do better personally.
Chelsea, you yourself are one of the most optimistic and positive people I've ever worked with. It's been an absolute joy to have you in the studio today.
Aww.
So thank you for joining us.
Thanks
and
for having
happy
me.
Pancake Day.
Happy flipping.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Good Food Podcast. Join us next week when I'll be speaking with Bake Off winner Matty Edgell about returning to the classroom after winning, and he reveals all about making the cake for his upcoming wedding. Don't forget, our bonus cook-along episode is out on Thursday. For more recipes and inspiration, please visit bbcgoodfood.com.